again. I forgot I was singing today. But I hope that this song is a blessing to your soul tonight. Take it slow.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas pray that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loose, and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defile those chains and they will fall. In Jesus' name, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a in your mind, reach out and praise. Defile those chains and they will fall. In Jesus' name, they say, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
We bless your name.
We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor. We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
truth away. We bless your name. We bless your name.
We bless your name. Amen. Did you all have a song? Amen. Maybe seat. Visitors have a song. Praise the Lord.
Dios les bendiga, hermanos. Estoy, para los que no me conocen, vengo del Tabernáculo de Adoración, Santiago de Chile.
For those that don't know me, I come from Tabernáculo de Adoración en Santiago, Chile.
Estuve el año pasado acompañando al hermano Fabián Palma.
I was here last year with Brother Fabián Palma.
Estuvimos también con Neri Villegas.
And also with Brother Neri when he came last year.
Y esta vez en mi temporada de vacaciones estoy junto a mi familia.
And so this time around I'm with my wife and my family.
La hermana Yemima.
My wife Yemima.
Y mis dos hijos, José Tomás y Amanda Hope.
And my two children, José Tomás and Amanda Hope.
Estamos hospedados en la casa de nuestro hermano Luis.
We've been staying with Brother Luis this
week. Agradecemos a él su hospitalidad.
So we appreciate his hospitality.
Y no podíamos estar fuera de un servicio al estar aquí junto a él.
So we couldn't be outside of a service. We wanted to be here.
Así que muy contento de verles en esta hora.
So I'm very happy to see you all again.
Ver a un grupo de creyentes aún reuniéndose.
I'm glad to see you all gathering together once again.
Y traemos una alabanza, un himno. Esperamos sea de bendición.
And we have a song that we'd like to sing, and we hope it's a blessing.
Muy contento de compartir esta noche junto a ustedes.
Just very happy to share with you here this evening. God bless you.
postrado estoy.
Let's all stand and we'll change over the service this evening. Amen. Brother Aaron prepares to come. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amazing. No, I'm good. I got this one. God bless you. You can be seated for a minute. Be quiet.
There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table and nobody's turned away. There is laughter and singing as the hours pass by. But a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane, just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's white under harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, can't the children hear the Father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Amen. Let's all stand.
Amen.
You know, as a body of Christ, you know, God gives each one of us our own portion, our own part to play. And, you know, I was thinking about what Brother Terrence was saying about raising money and helping missions. And, you know, it's what Jesus said. Said, look out in the field. It's wide unto harvest. He said, pray that the Lord of harvest will send the reapers, the servants into the field. And, you know, Brother Bram said, if we couldn't go, we're obligated. That's our job to send them. And I appreciate Brother Luis and Sister Christine having the burden to go, and we're able to do our little part to help them. But you know, we're so blessed. We have so much. We need to do all that we can.
Amen.
Be a faithful servant and be whatever God has called us to do. That's our portion, to make sure that we're doing our part.
Amen.
And I'm just honored to be a part of this church, and It's a real blessing.
Amen.
And just can't put enough words how much I love each one of you and appreciate you. Amen. So tonight we're going to go over a little bit what we went over last Sunday. And so I'm going to kind of go over this again. I've really enjoyed this. And we're going to be looking in John chapter 3, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and y'all just pray for me tonight, and to see what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Amen. So let's just speak to the author before we look into the Word. And appreciate our brother and sister being with us from Chile.
Amen.
Good to see y'all again. Bless you. Amen. Let's all just bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful. Again, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to gather with those of like precious faith, Lord. Father, to gather in around your word, Lord. Lord, it's not just a gathering of people, Lord, but it's, Lord, gathering unto you. Lord, The scripture tells us that wheresoever the carcass is, said there the eagles will be gathered together. Father, we're just so thankful for that tonight. We just pray that you have your will and way with us tonight. Have the preeminence in the service. Lord, just anoint the speaker and the hearer tonight, Lord. And Father, just come and give us what we have need of, Lord, for those that are listening in, Lord, watching in. I just pray whatever the needs may be, Lord, I know that you'll go and minister to each one in a special way. And Lord, for the bride around the world, Lord, the fivefold ministry, Father, we just pray that you just continue to hold them up, and we know that you will. Amen. And Lord, we just continue to pray for them. And Lord, as whatever their battle is, Lord, realizing that we're all one body. Amen. And Lord, when one hurts, we all hurt. Amen. And when one's victorious, then we're all victorious. And Lord, we just want to be pressing the battle, Lord, to be found faithful. Amen. in our duties. Lord, that we just continue to press on. Lord, realizing that the hour is late. And Lord, we're just looking for your return. And Lord, we just want to give you all the honor and praise and the glory tonight. And Lord, we just ask all things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 31, he said, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth, and he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the disciples whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power that after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. Y'all can be seated. God bless you. Now I want to pick up, speaking on impeaching of a witness. And this is from the testimony of a true witness. And Brother Bram says, now a testimony before a person has to have an experience before they can testify. If you were called in court, you have to know something before you can testify. And a witness is a person that has seen something, he knows that it is the truth, and they're called to give witness. And then a witness must know what he's talking about. He must not, "Someone told me a certain thing." He must be the witness himself. If not, he's not speaking of someone else that could be a witness at the scene. He's not speaking of someone else that could be a witness at the scene. Now, I think that being that we see out from our congregation, this life is so fragile, then that death is so positive, we need to come to a place that we are positive, sure, that this is what we speak of, that we speak of is right. See, it is not nothing that you can just haphazardly, as we say, accept it. You've got to be positive sure that it's right, because we do not know what kind of end that we will come to. And he said, that's one of the reasons why I'm a Calvinistic thinker of security of believer, is because that I believe that when a man or woman is in their right mind, that is the time to accept the Lord Jesus and get it all settled down once forever. Because when we come to the end of the road, we don't know just where and how we're going to be sick. We may be sick in our mind. We may have a fever that could really cook our very brain. We might say something or do something at the end of the road. We don't know. But you see, if we have already anchored in Christ, no matter what sickness takes us, what condition we are when we go, it's already settled. We are sealed until the day of our redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day, not of your death, but of your redemption. See, when death's done over, you're still sealed. Amen. I love that. And, you know, because, you know, in today's news, there's a lot that has been going on about witnesses and testifying and impeaching. And, you know, so to be a witness, as the scripture says here, as we were reading in John, you know, it talks about Jesus coming, that Jesus was a witness. And he had a testimony to give, and he had to make this thing sure. But then when he called to the disciples, he spoke the same thing and said, you shall be witnesses of the same exact same thing. Because when Jesus came and brought the truth, he said these things, and he said, he that receiveth these things, he said, hath everlasting life. Which is exactly what took place in Acts 2 when they received, because they received the word that Jesus held, that Jesus spoke. And then when they come, then it was their time to testify. And if they became the witness that Jesus was. And so we see how, you know, you have to have a testimony, a true testimony to be a witness. And God has called each one to be a witness. And as we were speaking of last time, you know, there's three witnesses that we look at. And, you know, God is a witness, or Jesus is a witness, and we know the devil's a witness, and you and I are called to be witnesses. And that's the three witnesses that we have, and to know that we are a witness, and to know what we've heard and what we believe, and to see these things. And you know, to be a witness, then, you know, the first thing that happens when you become a witness is in a court trial, and we've seen, very, you know, a lot of high profile court cases in the news. And, you know, the first thing they want to do is they try to impeach the witness. You know, that's the first thing they want to do. And the word impeach, you know, it means to dispute or disparage, deny or contradict, to attempt to prove that a witness has not told the truth or has been inconsistent by introducing contrary evidence, including statements made outside of the courtroom and depositions or statements of the witness heard by another. So when we go to look, you know, the first thing that you want to do is you want to try and impeach a witness. Because, you know, like Brother Bram said, when you come into the courtroom, you've got to know what the truth is, and you've got to be able to speak the truth, and you've got to have a firm grip, a firm understanding of the situation. And so when Jesus came, then he began to speak, you know, he began to speak there, and John, he talked about being a witness of the Father. And you know, he didn't speak of himself, but he said he spoke of what the Father had said to him. And he said the Son can do nothing of himself except what he sees the Father do. He said that doeth the Son likewise. He was a witness of what he had seen, and he began to do that, and he began to manifest that. And that was what God had called him to do, is to be a witness of who he was, because we know that was the fulfillment of the Word, because the Word had come down through the ages through the prophets and the patriarchs and all. And then he began and became the full manifestation of the Word. And there he was, and he stepped out on it, and he began to speak and began to point the people back to the scriptures and tell them who he was and what he came to do. And he began to identify who they were. But you know, the thing is they had to believe what God said about them. You know, because, you know, when he came to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they began to speak, and they said, you know, our father is Abraham. And he said, if you knew who Abraham was, he said, if your father had been Abraham, he said, you'd rejoice to see my day, because he said, Abraham longed to see this day. Abraham rejoiced to see this day, and he longed to see these things. And he said, now that you are standing here as the children of Abraham, and you deny what the word says. And so it's the same way today. Is, you know, people want to point to different things and who they are and these things and not realizing, you know, when to see what God has done in our day, and they begin to dispute and argue and fuss about it. It's a terrible thing, but as Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost came, He said, you'll be witnesses unto me. And he said, because the Holy Ghost is the witness. Amen. And as you go through, then as the witness comes, then it, you know, it quickens the word that you've hailed. And if the word has been quickened in you, then the word that has become, and it's not just just an idea or a thought, but it's actually a life. And so, you know, it's no longer, as Paul said, it's no longer I that live now. He said, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And so it's not just something that is to give us ideas and new thoughts and everything like that, but it's a life-changing experience. And so when this life comes in, then it's a life-changing, that because that life is to be made manifest, and it's supposed to be an expression. And so, you know, as when they began to see Jesus, when the disciples began to receive the Holy Ghost and they began to walk in the word that they had held, and it was quickened to them, then the life that they began to express into the people, then they began to notice, and they said they were called Christians. Why? Because they began to identify Christ in them. And you know, it's the same thing today, brothers and sisters. It has not ever changed. And so when people see us, when people see the, you know, because you say, well, I have the Holy Ghost living inside of me, I am a son or a daughter of God, then you know, if they can't see Jesus Christ in us, then it's a shame. It's a rebuke to us that the world cannot see who we are. Why? Because, you know, I love that little song, and some of you may not know it, but I've sung it before, and you know, it says, when the chorus goes, when they looked, they beheld him. When I spoke, they could hear him. He said, when I walked, my every footstep led them all to Calvary. And if our lives don't match that to a T, if people can't see Jesus Christ in us, then we failed. Then we have missed the mark. Why? Because everything that we say and do ought to be pleasing to the Lord. It should be a manifestation of who God is. It should be a love letter that is written, because if we are supposed to be written epistles read and known of all men, then it should be that what they see is what the fullness and the essence of God is. They ought to see the essence of Jesus Christ in each one of us. Not just seeing the old man, because the old man's supposed to be dead. Now that doesn't mean that you don't fight the old man, and you still don't have that old nature trying to come back, and that old thing trying to fight you all day and all night. But you know, the thing is greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We should be more than conquerors. Why? Because when we look to see, when he was a witness of what he done, he said, I conquered all things. And you know, because he said all things, the scripture tells us that all things were placed under his feet. Then you and I are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then if we're more than conquerors, then all things are under our feet. That we have overcome. But we see, we don't put our faith in that. We don't put our confidence in it. We don't realize who we are. We don't see that. When we wake up in the morning, you know, we go, well, how am I going to make it through the day? You know, because, you know, many times what we start out the day is, And we get to the things on our minds, and the things that we've got to do, and the routines that we've got to go through, and all these things. And lots of times we fail to see that God is trying to talk to us. You know, we don't listen. We don't, as Brother Jewel always said, you know, you don't speak the devil's language.
You don't talk the devil's language, but many times, you know, because the things that come our way, many times it's so subtle and it's so sly that we miss what's coming our way and not realizing what the devil is trying to do to us. You know, we see a fellow with horns and a pitchfork, and you know, he's going to slide up and he's going to talk to us. Well, the scripture says that he comes as an angel of light. Many times when we see these things that they begin to approach us and we see these things, we miss that the devil has tried to attack us. Why? Because we don't recognize him. You know, Brother Bob and I, we were talking about that a week or two ago, you know, because, you know, many times we think the devil's going to sit on our shoulder. No, it's the person that walks up to us. You know, and sometimes you hate to say this, but it's true. Sometimes it's somebody that's the closest to you. And even sometimes it's your husband or your wife, or it could be a brother or sister. And sometimes, you know, it's just like, you know, when Jesus was standing there and he heard Peter say those things that was contrary to what he had already spoken, told him what was going to take place. He was going to be crucified and that he would fall in the hands of sinful men. All the things that was going to take place to him. But he said, I'll raise again. And Peter rebuked him for saying that. When Jesus was pointing back to the Old Testament and telling him exactly what they would say, what they were going to do to the Messiah, and Jesus said, it's going to happen to me, and Peter rebuked him, and then Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, you may not want to try that with your wife or your husband. But you know what? It's the same thing. You've got to rebuke that. You don't accept that, but that's what you hear. You know, it's just like when Job was standing there, and you know, all the things that Job had befallen, things that had befallen him, and all the things, how they had went the way that they had went in his life, and his children had died, and everything was lost, and all the things that he was going through in his life, and he was sitting on that ash heap, and he was scraping bowls, and you know, then he had people that wanted to come to him and try to comfort him, and you know, it's like when you got friends like that, who needs enemies? You know, they come and you know, they're, as he said, you know, your physician's of no value. But then when his wife comes and begins to speak to him, he said, you talk as a foolish woman. Well, Joe, bless your heart, all the things you've been through in your life, why don't you just curse God and die? And you know, many people think, you know, she just come out there. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't there. You wasn't there either. So we don't know. But you know, I just don't see Job's wife walking right out there and yelling, Job, why don't you curse God and die? Well, you know why? Because Satan's not that way. Satan, get up there. Bless your heart, Job. Poor fella. What y'all do is curse God and die. Just pet you. Like pet the devil. Poor fella. Why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? That's the way I see that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, that's just the way he does. You know, he comes along, poor, pitiful you. You know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Brother Jewel said, wowsy, wowsy, woo. Just the way it is. Oh, poor, pitiful you. But that's not the way. But see, we can all fall into those times of, you know, living in the dumps and all the melancholy things. And, you know, and so somebody will say something to you. And man, it'll turn your day upside down. And you'll deal with that one thought, that one idea, that one thing it said to you, that'll ruin your whole day because you'll sit and like, what'd they mean by that? Why'd they say that? Why did they say it that way? And it's just like, you know, well, you know what? When I get a chance, that's what I'm going to say. I got my rebuttal to them. And you spend all day, and you know what? Then later on, something will happen. And you know what? None of that matters anymore. As Brother Dale talking about, you know, your wife will say something to you and then you say, well, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind when I get home. And then she'll meet you at the door and she'll say something. She'll tell you that she loves you. She'll say something wonderful. And it's like, well, you just ruined my rebuttal. I was ready to give you a piece of my mind. But now I can't. But you've wasted the whole day. And other times, somebody will say something to you, and the next thing you know, you're just looking for, and it's not something that somebody is trying to push your buttons, but something is said. Right. Yeah. And because something's already been said to you, we get our feelings hurt. We get upset about something. The next person that says something to us, then they're the person that gets unloaded on. And then we're really quick on somebody because something has been said, and it's like, you know, then it's like, and sometimes, you know, we say things before we, they say you can't actually speak without thinking, but sometimes that's scientifically, I think we understand that we know what we're saying, but we don't understand the consequences of what we're saying. So when we say we don't think it through, is when we're, what we're actually saying. We say what because we know what we want to say, but the problem is we don't realize what the consequences are going to be when you say that. But many times then you have to step back and say, you know, that's not pleasing to the Lord. And that's not becoming to a Christian. And sometimes, you know, we have to apologize. And sometimes when some things are said to you, then you got to step back and say, well, Lord, I'm not going to get into that. And sometimes that's hard to do sometimes. It's the reason that he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Because there's many times in our lives things happen that we can't control and we don't know how to process it. But it takes the Lord to come on the scene to do that. I was just this week, I was speaking to a lady, and she's went through a lot of hard times in her life, and they've moved from up north, and they had to move from the house that they were renting, and then her husband, the whole family ended up with COVID, and her husband passed away, and then she had to have surgery, and unfortunately the surgery didn't turn out the way that it should have. And so she's had a lot of ailments because of that. And, you know, just, I mean, when you look at somebody and all the situation and all the things that she's been through, and, you know, she just lives in this constant state. You know, she's so down, she's so out. There's a lot of anger, there's a lot of grief. And, you know, and it's understandable where she's coming from. And all you can do is try to share something with somebody when they allow you to, because many times that you just speak to them and they're not receptive to what you're going to say to them. But, you know, and what struck my attention was this woman and all the things that she's went through, and all you can do is pray for it. And, you know, just like, listen, things will get better. And, you know, it's just like, listen, we love you. The Lord loves you. Things will get better. But she's just so in it. And what's so amazing, there's another lady. She's went through the different circumstances. But, you know, same things. She's lost loved ones, and different things have happened to her in her situation. But, you know, what struck me about the second lady was, in her situation, you know, she can find the things that are positive. So here's this lady, and you know, and what struck me was the first lady, she's like, well, I only had 15 years with my husband, and then he's gone. And it's like, you know, this is the love of my life. And then the other lady, she is, some people, their makeup is different, but sometimes I think it's the Lord that speaks to people, and it shows you. To me, it just speaks to me because, you know, she's like, and you see other people that are around you, it's like, other people have lost loved ones. Other people have went through surgeries and they didn't work out right. Some people have, you know, lost houses and all these different unfortunate things have happened in their life. But you know, the thing is there's people who's like, you know what? I still have my health. And you know, and she's like, because she begins to look at other people and she's like, you know, I've had 20 years with my husband. But you know, I thank God for the 20 years. Now this other lady, she only had 15, but she's like, I've had 20 years. But she said, you know, there's other people that didn't have as long as we did. And then when she talked about, you know, people have lost children, it's like, you know, it's like, well, you know what? These children have had less time with their father, and my kids have had longer with their father. And then you begin to look back and you say, man, that's so amazing, because even in the midst of all this sadness and all this grief and all these things, then when you begin to look and you begin to see how God has begun to speak to people, and you know, even in the midst of all their grief, then it, like Job said, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord takes away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what struck me is how ungrateful we can be when God begins to speak to us in the scripture, and you know, And this, you know, because now it's the time of Thanksgiving, and you know, we can become so ungrateful because we began to look at ourselves and we look at the condition that we're in. And you know what we felt? Because when we go back and we look at all the things that David went through in his life, and all the conflict and all the heartache and all the problems, but you know, he began to talk about the mercies of God are new every morning. And he began to talk about all the things that God had given him. Because you know what? He began to speak from a place because he realized who he was. Because when he began to realize all the conflict and all the problems and being isolated and being cast out, but you know what? He was still the anointed king of God. He was still the anointed of God to do a job. And in all those things, you know what? God didn't turn his back on him. Everything went sideways and upside down and everything like that, but it didn't change who he was. And you know, and he began to speak, you know, and all the things that God had done for him. And it's the same way with you and I. When, you know, many times we look and we say, well, why did things happen this way? And why does things go this way? And all these other things. But you know, the thing is God's still in control. God still reigns. And you know, the thing is whatever comes my way, he allows it to happen. He's allowed these things to come into my life. He's allowed these things, these heartaches and these problems. But you know what? He's made me an overcomer. But the problem is I can lay down and I can allow the devil to walk all over the top of me, and I can lay down and just live in the Molly Grubs, where I can stand up and say I'm a son of God, and you know what? I've been blessed, and I'm going to overcome. And whether I go down or not, I'm going to go down fighting. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to quit because it gets hard. I'm not quitting. Why? Because he never quit on me, and I'm not quitting on him. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. Why? Because he's made me an overcomer. But the problem is, you see, we not realizing who we are, that we've been called to this position. We've been called to this. And guess what? It's going to get harder and harder. But guess what? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We've been called to be a conqueror in this hour. There's many things that when you look at, looking in even in the Psalms and the Psalms, I believe it's 137 there. And, oh, David's speaking of them going into Babylon. He said that we've been taken, when they began to be taken into captivity. And he said, you know, he said as we were led in, and he said we hung up our harps on the trees. And he said, then he said, and they began to ask of us. He said, they ask of us of mirth. And the songs of Zion. And he said, how can we sing in a strange land? And all of a sudden, you know, he began to look back and said, how can we sing these songs when everything's went against us? How can we sing the songs of Zion? But you know what? He began to think about Zion and began to look back at those things. And he said, if I forget Zion, if I forget, he said, then let my hand lose its cunning. He said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. He said, if that's not my best joy, my chief joy, What amazing thing that even in the midst of all those things, but you know, he began to look at the captivity and all the things around him. And you know, he said, how can we sing these songs? But later on in the chapter, if you drop down, then it says, oh child, children or daughter of Zion, of Babylon. He said, would you soon come to your destruction? Then all of a sudden, then you know, he begins to look at how can I live? How can I rejoice in this time? How can I go through all of this? But then he began to realize, you know what? I'm only here for a little while. Why? Because in that same chapter, in the midst of all that, God began to speak to them. They were coming out of captivity. So they were coming out. So they might have been going in, but you know what? God had spoken to them that they were coming out. And you know, your brothers and sisters, we may live in a world that's falling apart, but guess what? Our captivity will soon be over with. We soon will be leaving this place. We've already been promised a trip out of here. We've already got a way that's made that's going to be. And you see, brothers and sisters, the word has come to us to realize and say, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Yes, we're in a strange land. Yes, we're in a strange place. But I can tell you, I can sing the songs of Zion when I begin to think about the goodness of God. What God has done for me. And you know what? I'm getting out of here. There is a way that's been made, an escape to get out of here. So when God has called us, that we're leaving, then I can sing the songs of Zion. Why? Because I've been made more than a conqueror. It's so wonderful to realize who we are and what God has called us to. So, you know, we've heard the things that the devil has told us. And we've heard the things that God has told us. Like I told her last time, you know, we talk about political parties, and Brother Bram said that, he said, Jesus voted for me, and he said, the devil voted against me, and he said, I voted with Jesus. Right. Amen. So I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a winner. Why? Because I voted the way that's going to help me. God has made a way for me. And so, you know, it's the way that but we have to realize what God has done for us and the word, and we have to accept that. But we realize also that the devil is coming and his job is to refute all the things of the word of God. He's come to refute your testimony. What God has told you, his job is to contradict and come against that. And so the thing is when we realize, like I said last time, when we realize that God has given us the truth and what God has done for us. And I said, then we come to the place and we have to take these things and we have to look at them. We look at the things that God has done and then we have to examine the witnesses. We have to examine the witnesses and look at their testimony. And so when we begin to look at these things, and then we see, you know, when we take a look at what God has said. And you know, when Brother Brandon preached the message, the court trial, there he was, and he was talking about, you know, Mr. Impatient. And you know, the doubter and the different ones, and you know, he said, you know, they come in there and they say, well, God has not done these things, and God's not done these things. And then, you know, then they begin to put him on the trial. But see, the thing is, God never promised us a time limit. He never gave us, but he told us if we would hold on. But see, many times we go back and look, how many times have we heard from God and God not failed us? How many times have you prayed and God answered your prayers? How many times when you didn't even ask God for anything that he come on the scene and you realized that it was the hand of the Lord that reached out and grabbed a hold of you and stopped you or whatever and guided you in the right direction? So when you begin to look at the witnesses, then you say, well, this is what God has done for me. And all the times that God has never failed me. But then on the flip side, when you come in there and you take the same thing and you look to see what the devil has said. And you begin to take everything that the devil has said to you. And then all of a sudden, when you begin to hear the things and you think about all the times that the devil has told you things and it never come to pass. When he's come and he said, and he's told you, oh, you're not going to overcome. Oh, that's a heart attack and all the other things that's going to, your family's not coming in and all the other things that you've heard from him where he's got in your way. And it's, you know, and it's not just him sitting on your shoulder talking in your ear, but it's somebody coming up and telling you things and coming right. And even when people come and stand front, just toe to toe with you to rebuke you and knowing where you stand. And God never failed you, but you know, all the times, we see all the times that Satan has come and we've heard Satan come and tell us all these things and you're not going to make it. You're not a son of God and all the other all the things that they've done and, you know, all these different things. And it not ever come to pass.
Right.
You know, and so if we only see it one time where we've seen one time where the devil has lied to us. And we saw the devil had lied to us, then why in the world do we waste any time, any bit of time listening to him any other time? We get caught in this little thing where, and I don't know about y'all, but we have our discussions and battles in the truck. We have a drive time battle. It's whenever you get alone by yourself. It's usually when I'm driving. And that's when the devil wants to talk to you. And you know, then it's all the things that went on and all the problems and all these different things. And it's like, you know, then he tires up your commute to work listening. And it's like, you don't put any, it's like, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to turn on the Word of God. And all of a sudden when it gets to the point to, you know, turn on some music. Or you turn on Brother Branham and you start listening to things that Brother Branham had, you know, just start playing the sermons and things all of a sudden it starts to get rid of all those things and you start to begin to, and or you have to sit down and you think, well, you know what, I'm gonna thank God because you know what, I got up this morning. I can still see. I can still walk. And so you begin to say, you know, when you start to think about all your blessings and you count all your blessings, as they say, you know, if you sit down and count all your blessings, you realize that your blessings outnumber your troubles every time. Anytime you sit down and start counting all the good things that you got in your life and all your problems, and guess what? Then all of a sudden when you run out of problems and you're trying to find more problems to think about, you know what? You still got more goodness and more things of the blessings of God to still be counting on. And so you keep counting the blessings and you realize, you know what? They outnumber your troubles every time. And so all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, you know how blessed I am. Then we will sit and we will take what people will say to us. And we'll listen to what the devil has to say to us. But you know what? The devil is a liar and he's the father of it. And he has, so as we understand, then he is an impeached witness. He has no credibility. He has nothing to stand on. He has no foundation, but we will still listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, that's right.
We will still listen to what, and then it's like, well, was that true? No. We don't give him any foothold. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But do we put faith in our confidence? Are we totally sold out to what God has said? Do we fully believe what God has told us? You know, because the thing that grips man is a fear of the unknown. And so when we can't figure things out. So, we began to have this internal struggle with these things. But you know, when we began to look at what God has done for us. When you began to think, Brother Rem said, you know, you think everything that's in existence came from God is the spoken word. He said, even the concrete, all, you know, talking about all these different things, the world, all these things, you are spoken word of God. Because God spoke man into existence, but he also knew who was going to be here. And he knew all of his children, the back part of God's mind. He knew all these things was going to take place. He knew what the fall was going to take place. He knew all these things were going to take place. He knew that you'd be sitting here tonight.
That's right.
And so all the things that we've been through, and you know what? Because God knew that all these things was going to take place and that man would fall. You know, before the fall took place, there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was a way made. Do you know, before all these things come into existence, God saw you as an overcomer. As what Job said, he said he saw them, he said, you know, where were you, Job, when the sons of God shouted for joy? The morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you, Job? Where were you in all these things? When God knew you from the beginning and knew what was going to take place. And he made a way for you all the way through. And when all these things were going to take place, he knew exactly how you were going to look. So when he began to know how your physical body would look, that he would come and that he would make, you know, your great-great-great-grandmother and great-great-great-grandfather and all of them would come together and this one would meet this one and this one would have children and all the things that had to come through.
Yeah. Amen.
And all these things, they'll come all the way down for you to come here to look the way that you do. And he knew that all the things, and not only that, not only that he would come, that you would look the way that you do, but you know, that in his mind, he actually knew that you would come here and he would know what kind of temper you would have. He'd understand your personality, your mood. He'd understand all these things. He knew your likes and your dislikes, all the things that are quirky about you that you think's different, unique. He knew all those different things that make you who you are. And you know what? He made a way for you. That one day, wherever you were at, whether you were born in a family that knew about the message all of your life, or you're the only one in the family that believes the message. God knew where you were at and knew how to reach you and knew that the word would cross your path. Why? Because you were predestinated. You had representation. So he knew where you were going to be at. And he brought you. And then, so if you come this way and you say, well, you know, I know what I used to be and I know what I am today. And they say, I know what justification is. I know what sanctification is. I know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. I know what the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is. And if you've come all of that way and you've seen God bring you all the way through all of those things and all the things and all of the problems that you've had to overcome and face and God knows what they call the grab bag of life, all the things that you have to deal with here in this world, and you know all the sicknesses and all these other ailments that you have to deal with that nobody, you know, not everybody has to face, but you do. But you know, all of those things God knew, but you know, God brought you to this place. And he's given you an avenue and a way to overcome. And he's brought you this way. And when you look back and you see all the things that God has done for you and you begin, then how can you not just stand up and praise God and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me when you brought me this far. And you know what? I've seen the devil come in like a flood in my life, but I've seen you raise up a standard against him. I've seen him come in and I've seen what it didn't look like there was no way, but I've seen him. You make a way.
Amen.
I've seen you come in. I've seen it when it didn't look like how you say, how's this going to work out or anything like that. But you know what? God's come in and he's showed you a way and that you've overcome. When the doctor gives you a bad health report and says you can't make it and all these type things and all these things and you next thing you know what? You're healthy, perfect, well. And you know, the devil can't take your kneecaps and all kinds of other things that's happened to you. Why would you, when you've come down that road and you've seen all those things take place. You know, everywhere I go, I always like to give my testimony. Brother Luis and I were talking about that. And y'all pray for him. He's still got that broken finger. We believe that thing's going to heal up and won't be no more problem, Brother Luis. He said, if the Lord can heal your elbow, Brother Aaron, he said, a finger is not a problem. But you know, yeah, I thank God all the time for my elbow. You know, when I went through all that, when they done that impairment rating on me, that physical therapist, when they done that test on me, they said, you only lost 3% use in that. I said, well, I ain't missed those 3%. I can get that one there, but I can't get that one there. But that's what I used to do when I used to go to therapy. They always laughed at me all the time. I'd work out and then I'd pull in my arms down. That's how I stretch up my arm, trying to get that thing. It's like, you're not going to beat me. Just like Dr. Davis, you know, my surgeon, you know, he told me, he said, you know, I like to think that I'm good, but he said we had divine intervention. When I didn't have any nerve damage in that elbow, when I didn't have anything, that was God. Because see, you know, when you see God leading you all the way, that he put the right surgeon, gave me the right surgeon. They brought me to the right person. And I asked Dr. David, I asked him, I said, do you believe in divine healing? Yes. I said, that's my kind of surgeon. If you believe in God touching people, yes, I do. Well, then, you know, that's the kind of doctor I want. I want somebody that believes in that, you know, that God can do things. God's in the supernatural business. We do our part, just like Brother Rand said, you know, you can mend a bone, you can set it and do all kinds of things, you can pull a tooth, but it takes God to do the healing. But you know, I thank God, I tell everybody that physical therapist, when she done my impairment rating, I showed her my x-rays, all that metal in my elbow that I had, and she didn't believe I was the same person. And you know, there was other people, Dr. Davis told me, those other people that had the same surgery I did, and they never got nowhere near the use out of their arm. And people never were able to use their arm. And I get up every morning, and sometimes you get so wrapped up in things and you get upset. It's like, boo, devil. What do you think about that? You know, I'm healed. I'm whole. And you know, you just can't. So you know, the devil don't want to hang around when you start praising God. When you start talking about all the things that God's done for you. When you sing your children wayward and lost, and all of a sudden you keep holding the token over them, and all of a sudden then they come in and you know, then they're living a Christian life and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can say, devil. Right. Well, we don't give up on him. Right. He's done it for one. He said, if you meet the same conditions, he said, you meet one that's met that condition. He said, God's obligated to meet. If you meet that same condition, God's obligated to do the exact same thing. Right. Yeah. Well, I've seen God work in my life. And you know what? I'm not giving up on anybody else. Amen. Why? Because God had called us to be a witness. Yes. Amen. And see, so we, you know, if you can find one place where God has, where has God ever failed you? God's never failed me. Amen. But then, you know, I can put my trust and my confidence in Him. Amen. Then when we see what God has done for us and what God has brought to us, Then the other thing that we have to take a stretch sometimes, we don't realize that when he began to speak of Adam and Eve being in the garden, being the type of the bride, and he began to speak of the bride in Christ, and he said, she's bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, and spirit of his spirit, and life of his life. Then he began to speak of who she was. Then you know what? Then he said, how can the word deny the word? How can the Word deny the Word when you are the Word by the Spirit? So when you're born, if He was the Word, if He is the Word, and you're born of the Word, because that is what is quickened, then you're born of the Word, then you are the same thing that He is, because He said she is Him. So then if you're born of Him, then He was, when He rose again, Brother Brown said, when Jesus rose from the dead, He said He had the mechanics, but He proved that He had the dynamics by proving and overcoming death. Then you know what, brothers and sisters? If you have the same thing, then you know what? Then you have the dynamics also. He said, well, she is waiting for the dynamics. See, the thing is the dynamics, because everything that you have need of was given to you in this earthly journey, in the new birth. She's waiting on the dynamics. Why? Because the dynamics is here. The dynamics is in you, but you've got to recognize what you have. And we go, well, you know, sometimes that draws us back to not really. No, we have to realize who we are. If we were alienated from God, if we were outcasts of God, and He made a way back, and He brought us back to Him, that we are born of Him, then what does that make us? That doesn't make us any lower, doesn't make us any less. Then guess what? God has made us a child of God. Then we know who we are. The scripture is not just not words. But it's truth. It's a reality. So when he said, when you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that doesn't lose something. Well, we're joint heirs. Well, he's got the majority of it, and we got this little piece over here. Now, if Richard and I, we had that kind of joint in our family, we'd have a disagreement. You know what? Because I'm gonna get mine. What was that? But that's what God has told us who we are. Whatever. Because if that's who I am, then I've got Janine's back here too. So, oh, Janine's back there. But I'm coming to get mine. You know, when we stand up and we say, well, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, well, then what does that mean? Well, you know, then we say in there, Lord, please help me. Lord, 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 I need this, I need that. I need healing. And it's beg and plead. You know, when I realized years ago, every time I pray for somebody, I always like to, you know, you can pray over somebody and you know, you ask, but the last thing I like to do, I like to thank God for it. Why? Because Brother Bram said that if Jesus Christ was standing right here in front of you right now, He couldn't do any more than what He's already done for you. He couldn't heal you. He said because He's already done it. He couldn't save you because He's already done it. It's already a finished work. It's a finished work of Calvary. He said by His stripes you were healed. It's not that I have to come up there and plead and pray and beg God for a healing. No. Brother Bram said that faith was a long range vision. So then when I see what he said, then I'm going to step out and say, well, thank you, Lord, because that's what I do. When you pray over somebody and say, thank you, Lord, because you know what? It's a finished work of Calvary. It's finished. It's already done. He's done all that he can do. Then the problem is it becomes ours. Then it's our responsibility to believe that and walk in it. Then we stand up every day, you know what, I'm healed. I can't be any more healed than I already am. Just like saying, you know, I'm gonna be saved. You can't get any more saved. If you're already saved, then you can't be getting any more saved. If you're already justified and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't get any more. Nope. Why? Because He's already put you in the body. So that's where you're sealed until the day of your redemption. You can't get any more sealed. Now you can grow in more in God, but you can't get any more sealed because you can't get any more into the kingdom of God because you're already in there. So we can't become any more. We can grow. Just like when a child's born, they can't get any more born. They're here. But then it takes a growth development. So when we see who we are, then we've got to this place and what God has done for us, then this is where we are. What God has done for us, then we can stand up and say, all these things, every promise in the book is mine. Then I'm not waiting on God. Well, Lord, are you going to bless me with this or not? He's already blessed you. Because he said, you know, because even our minds, it's greater than what our minds can comprehend what God has done for us. Yes, what God has blessed us. But you know, Brother Bram said, we live so far below our privileges. But you know, then we come and as to speak as a witness. So many times when people stand up and, you know, because how many times has people got up to testify about what God has done for them and people get shocked? You know what? I prayed for healing. We all prayed and then somebody got healed and they act like they're going to fall on the floor. It's like, what? Wow. I mean, you really? Or, I mean, because some of you, we don't realize God, that's what God does. That's what he said he would do. Amen. He said that he would heal you. Hey, you're already healed, so when it comes to pass, it shouldn't shock us. But Brother Ram said, he said it should shock us when it doesn't come to pass. When people are standing in the pool, in the church, and he said that all of a sudden, he said, when people are not getting healed, when people are not getting what their answers, when they're not being delivered, he said, then it's a time to stop. Just like the children of Israel, when the sin was in the camp, then it was time to stop and see what was taking place. Brothers and sisters, that's what God wants us to do. You know, it doesn't make us arrogant. It doesn't puff us up. But you know what? It makes us want to walk in what God has called us to. To walk in what God has given us. Not to be arrogant, because that's not God's way. But to be confident in what God has given us. What God has called us to. God has called us, and I don't have to worry about what the devil says, because the devil's a liar and he's the father of it. And you know, any time he's ever come. Just like they say about a politician. How do you know that they're lying? Their mouth's moving. They're talking to you. Well, how do you know the devil's lying to you? As soon as he starts talking to you, that's when you know the devil's lying. He ain't never told the truth. He ain't never going to tell the truth. But he wants you to stop and listen to him. Just like Eve. Stop and get out and not be fortified behind the word. Not to be fortified behind the word. But that, as the quote that I read the other Sunday about oneness, you know, you grab a hold of that sword. And say, Lord, by this, I'm going to cut every doubt away. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to stand, raise my hand, say, Lord, by this, I'm going to overcome. I'm oneness with you. That's what God has called us to. He's given us the weapon, the way to overcome. He's made us more than conquerors through him. Let's all stand this evening, have the musicians come. God has made a way for us. And you are more than a conqueror through him. God has called us to be a witness to the world that he still lives. Amen. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What the word says, what this Bible says is the truth. Amen. Why? Because there's somebody that lives it. That it's made known. He said, well, I just don't see how people can live that way. Well, the thing is, it's not us living it. When you get the Holy Ghost, when you get the one on the inside that lives the life, it's not you living the life, it's him living the life. I love when Brother Bram said, you know, when they asked him, said, well, did you keep, when your wife died and your daughter died and all these things, said, did you keep your religion? He said, no, it kept me. See, the thing is it's not us trying to live the life. It's letting him live it. Amen. It's no longer I that live now, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight, Brother Boyd.
596, I feel the pull.
Amen.
At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen this
the Spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I look to hear the word, and with a sigh and praise, He was drawing me to live a higher place. And there's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach the goal, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all.
Coming a day this evening.
Amen.
F. There is coming a day
when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be.
when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We'll turn it over to Brother Wade.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give our brother a good hand clap. Good message tonight. Good middle of the week sermon. Give you something to chew on during the rest of the week. So, just want to make some quick announcements. Number one, this past weekend, y'all can pat yourself on the back again too because you cooked some good food.
Amen.
Plenty of good food. Plenty of good fellowship. Y'all did a real good